from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Little under 24 hours ago, we found out about another school shooting, this time in Georgia. In a suburban school district, 2 students, 2 teachers killed, 9 others wounded. The 14-year-old suspect in custody, and some details about his past and questions they had of him and his father a year ago talking about a potential school shooting.
Well, the father told the people who were asking the questions that his son did not have access to rifles that were being stored in the home, but we're also being told that the kid used an AR-style rifle in yesterday's shootings, and the question now is, A, how did he get a hold of it, and B, how the heck did he get it in the school building in the first place?
And anytime you hear these stories, you certainly cringe, and then it is localized. What can we do to make our schools safer? And we're joined by Aaron Venata, who is the chief of the school police at Quaker Valley, and also for the safety. Chief, we appreciate you taking some time for us this morning. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, Larry.
Obviously, this is what you do. You're the safety and security coordinator. And, you know, it's interesting because in Pittsburgh, just outside Woodland Hills' famous Wolf Arena, there was a round of gunfire near a pharmacy. It wasn't actually in the stadium, but it caused a panic and people rush out. And it brought up the changes that they're talking about. Just at football games alone, one of those would be only students from either Woodland Hills or the visiting school with student ID would be admitted. Clear bag policies, other things. And I'm just curious first to get your reaction to how do we keep our schools safer?
Yeah, so I think what you've been talking about this morning, we're looking at two different beasts. So, you know, obviously the athletic events is one that we see that happening a lot more often, particularly outside of the events like you'd mentioned. So I think the important stuff to remember there is, you know, first and foremost, we need to have adequate adult supervision and staffing inside the facility and on the perimeter. So, you know, once we have large crowds like that, it brings a whole different element. So, you know, you have individuals that, you know, might not act aggressively in a normal situation on a one-on-one environment, but once they, you know, enter into a crowd situation like that, a large crowd, emotions and things like that could add to that. You know, obviously the more people and the less adult supervision and visibility and mobility, then, you know, that can cause issues. You know, we have a higher risk for things like drug and alcohol consumption before those type of events than in a normal, you know, everyday school setting. And then we also have, in certain neighborhoods, you know, a higher risk for, you know, gang member presence and things like that, where they can kind of blend into the crowd a little bit easier. And, you know, that has the outcome that maybe we've seen the other day. So, on the other hand, you know, we talk about what just happened in Georgia. You know, we're looking at a whole different situation where I think that boils down to, you know, relationships and connectedness and, you know, understanding when kids are struggling and when they're going through a difficult time and reaching out to them and trying to connect with them and get them in a better place. So, you know, I think overall, you know, physical security plays a role in in both aspects, but I think the human element comes in to play a lot more when we talk about, everyday school setting.
Aaron, Paul Rasmussen here. I want to dive a little deeper into what you were saying. One of the experts that we've been hearing from in our newscasts, a clip basically says there's an importance on looking for the signs. There are red flags that are concerning that start to pop up before a shooting with a particular student that may be involved, and then finding out what those are and then responding to them. This does not sound like something that's going on a regular basis in schools.
Well, actually it is behind the scenes. It's actually the law in Pennsylvania. So with Act 18 of 2019, every school district in the Commonwealth is required to have a behavioral threat assessment team. So those teams, if they're functioned properly, should be doing exactly that. So looking at students who, display any kind of concerning behaviors, some of them are more obvious, like threatening behavior, non-aggression, verbal and written communications, things of that nature. But, the more important ones are the less obvious behaviors, like social isolation, withdrawal, change in appearance, decline in hygiene, decline in academic performance, maybe substance abuse, things like that. And then once, one or two of those things pop up, then that could kind of put that student on the radar. So that's where it's important, where you need, somebody, and you need to educate, faculty, staff, students, and the entire community on, identifying those concerning behaviors and then having a reporting mechanism where they can report them. Because what we see is in all these typical events, that after the fact, and I expect here in the coming days, you'll hear more and more about a lot of these red flags that are popping up. That information is kept in silos. So it's fragmented. And, once you get, one concerning behavior, and then you reach out to different, people involved in that person's life, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a friend, whether it's a community member, a counselor, each one of those individuals might have another little piece of information. And then, what they say in the threat assessment world, it's, you got to collect the dots before you connect the dots.
Well, so it sounds like
all that stuff together.
In this case, Chief, they did get a flag, a big red flag, and they interviewed this guy, this 14-year-old and his dad last year, and I'm surprised nobody followed it more closely. But that's in Georgia. What about the practical part here? Most urban schools have metal detectors at schools, and most suburban schools do not. Quaker Valley, for instance, do you have metal detectors that check students in coming into, or anybody coming into school?
We do not. I know that, like you mentioned, a lot of schools in the area do. One thing we need to be mindful of when we talk about, metal detectors and devices like that, weapons detection systems and things of that nature, that does give us a sense of security and a soothing feel for parents in the community. It shows that schools are trying to do something to keep kids safe. But we have to look at the realistic view of that as well. So when you talk about, those devices being effective 100%, you have to operate them in an environment like you see at the Pittsburgh International Airport, where, there's one way in and that's the only way in and everybody's getting screened. When you look at a school building, particularly an average sized high school, you might have 30, 40, 50 entryways around the building. So if you only have that in, two, three, four locations, then that leaves all those other vulnerabilities where somebody could, open the door, let somebody in, something like that. What else we've seen throughout the country is, areas like Charlotte, they end up banning things like three-ring binders, hydro flasks, eyeglass cases, musical instrument cases, and, other everyday educational items. Or you see places that turn down the settings so that those kind of devices don't set them off, and then the weapons get into the building. Just this past summer, I was doing some training for security guards, and I was speaking to somebody locally, and they had a machine, one of the weapons detection devices that they had sent back because, you know, they paid about $150,000 for the device. And at the end of the day, you know, they caught, you know, three students with weapons inside the building that had, you know, made their way through those devices. So another problem that we see also is, you know, if you look at areas like out in Salt Lake, they spent $2 million on these devices. And after all of that, they don't have the staff to operate them. Yeah. You know, it takes three or four people at a minimum to operate these devices.
Well, when you hear of these incidents, certainly draws our attention, and you always want to try to find ways to keep the kids safe and teachers and staff too. So, Chief, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
Yeah, be safe. Chief of the school police, you got it. Quaker Valley, Chief Aaron Panetta.
Wow, I learned a lot there, Larry. There were some things I had no idea were happening. Yeah.
So I know every parent, that's your worst nightmare, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking last year, my son texting me, Dad, there's a shooter, when they rolled up on Westinghouse
and started shooting
as kids were coming out of the school. I mean, did they ever catch those kids?
Not that I'm aware.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.